This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
You could call it MicroWho or Yasoft.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Microsoft is hungry this morning, hungry for a little more pull in the online ad world. The software Goliath has offered to gobble up Yahoo with a $44 billion takeover bid. The deal offers Yahoo shareholders a 62% premium above what their stock was trading at just yesterday. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
Analysts say unlike the late 90s, when Microsoft seemed unstoppable, today's bid is further proof that company executives like Kevin Johnson are panicked about a certain search engine.
Today, the market is increasingly dominated by one player.
Did someone say Google?
Google is no doubt the dominant player here. Google is the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Michael Gartenberg at Jupiter Research says even after a merger, Yahoo and Microsoft would still have just a fraction of Google's market share in online search advertising.
The real challenge is not going to be getting this deal done. The real challenge starts the day after the paper is signed and figuring out how to make these two divergent cultures work together.
But Microsoft executives say a merger with Yahoo would give the combined company the resources, expertise, and market share to take a big bite out of Google's business. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
We haven't seen U.S. payrolls shrink in about 4.5 years. Until today, employers cut 17,000 jobs in January. Still, the Microsoft announcement is keeping Wall Street at least a little optimistic. The Dow is up 54 points to 12,704. The NASDAQ is up 14 points to 2,404. And the S&P 500 is up 7 points to 1,386. Mixed results in Asia today, gains across the board in Europe. Executives at a couple U.S. oil companies are enjoying their coffee this morning. Chevron says its profit rose nearly 30% in the fourth quarter, beating expectations. And get this, Exxon announced the biggest annual profit ever posted by a U.S. company, $40.6 billion. But with tighter refining margins, Marketplace's Bob Moon explains the party can't go on forever.
With some oil companies posting annual profits that figure out to roughly $60,000 to $70,000 a minute, it might seem it would take a pessimist like the one Jack Nicholson played a while back to wonder,
what if this is as good as it gets?
But that's exactly the question investors are asking about big oil's growth potential. There are limits to how much the major companies can pump out of the ground and what they can make on gasoline. We caught up with independent analyst Stephen Schork at the latest OPEC meeting in Vienna.
High crude oil prices are a cost of doing business. The oil companies have to go out and buy a lot of the crude oil that they are turning into gasoline.
And at the same time, consumers have been using less.
You have not yet seen a commensurate return on the price of gasoline, so the margins are very difficult.
In fact, Marathon Oil says it was record high crude prices that pushed its profits down 38% at the end of last year, leading investors to wonder just how much the market will bear. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
So, the economy, what are you going to do about it? That's one of the most important and frequent questions facing the presidential candidates. This week on the Marketplace programs, we've been hearing from the candidates' economic advisors. Glenn Hubbard is advisor to Republican Mitt Romney. Marketplace's Scott Jagow started his conversation with Mr. Hubbard about the take on the current president's plan to get the economy moving again.
Well, let's start with the plan to stimulate the economy. What is Mitt Romney's position on that package?
Well, Governor Romney is concerned about current developments in the economy and broadly supports the package the president has put forward. He also has suggested the need to remember that making the Bush tax cuts permanent is probably more important stimulus than anything we're talking about today.
Okay. Would that be a centerpiece of his long-term economic philosophy?
Most definitely. He has said that the cornerstone fiscally is to begin with making the Bush tax cuts permanent. He has other fiscal objectives on the spending side and the tax side, but it starts there.
All right. What are some of those?
Well, after stopping the large tax increase that would be in store for us were the tax cuts not made permanent, he has suggested the need to boost military spending and to have spending restraint in the rest of the budget and the need for entitlement reform for long-term budget balance.
Well, we've talked about the idea of tax cuts. What about the tax system?
Well, he's already proposed removing taxes on saving for all households who make less than $200,000 a year. He's certainly keen to look at tax reform, particularly in the corporate area where the U.S. now has the second highest statutory corporate tax rate in the world.
What about a more radical approach, something along the lines of the fair tax that Governor Huckabee has suggested?
Well, national sales taxes of the level that would be required to fund the federal government are virtually impossible to implement. Were you to want a national consumption tax, which has great merit, it would be implemented more on the business side. So it's possible to design a consumption tax that is fair and is more efficient, but that would not be the so-called fair tax.
If you had to pick one economic feature of Governor Romney's philosophy, what would you focus on?
Well, that's an easy one because I think what has distinguished him in his business and political career, and certainly in the presidential race, is his emphasis on openness in the American economy and optimism about our future. He believes that we have an excellent future as long as we maintain an open economy and an economy that shares its prosperity broadly.
Glenn Hubbard, he's an economic advisor for Mitt Romney. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
If you missed any of the economic advisor interviews, you can listen to them at marketplace.org. 2008 is a big year for American politics and overseas, a big year for Liverpool. The northern British city has been chosen as a European capital of culture, and the locals are expecting a lot of tourists. Some lucky visitors may even get to spend the night with Liverpool's most famous foursome. Alex McRae has more.
It's been a hard day's night.
You've sung along to their records. Now you can spend the night with the Fab Four in the town they made famous. The Hard Day's Night Hotel opens today in Liverpool. It's been 3 years and $40 million in the making. Mike Dewey is the general manager.
The hotel is a four-star boutique hotel with a twist, and the twist is the Beatles.
9-foot statues of George, John, Paul and Ringo surround the hotel's entrance. Beatles-themed artwork and memorabilia line the walls. The hotel hopes to capitalise on the group's global popularity.
We hope we'll appeal to a broad church of people, whether they're Beatles fans or not.
As the Beatles song goes, money can't buy you love. But it can buy a night in the hotel's John Lennon suite, with all-white decor and a white baby grand piano, for $1,300. In London, I'm Alex McRae for Marketplace.
And if you're sick of all of the recession talk, Dark County Dave is offering a way to simplify things. Dave is a pig that lives in Greenville, Ohio. The Dark County Realtors Association will put two troughs in front of him this weekend, one filled with sawdust, the other with sugar. If he dips his nose in the sugar, America will surely pull out of this financial slowdown. And if he chooses sawdust, well, what does he know anyway? He's a pig. I know I'm glad it's Friday. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Here's to the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.